I did have something. I don't know what Woody was talking about on the show today. Who is Amber Guity? Is Amber a new member of the show? Oh.
And we are back with another episode of Post Game. We have E. Kij, we have Jeanette joining us for a special edition. Always fun when we have our rock star on. We have Allie, the one and only P. Lace, Pam, Lou and Sales, Dupac, and for the first time ever, the debut of any Lauer After Hour pod, Capo. And if you don't know who Capo is and you follow us on Twitter, then I don't know what to tell you, but Capo, welcome, my man.
What's up? What's up?
So just like normal, even though we have 2 days of show under our belt, we don't only want to talk about the show. We also have normal lives in which we notice things. And to kick that off, we have P-Lace, who had some things happen with IT at work and just wanted to express her frustrations with it and see what everybody else here thought about it.
Okay, so we have an IT guy in our office who's like our IT guy, but he also has a side hustle and he provides IT support and lighting and does all sound and all kind of stuff on the side for people. And he got hired this week to go to Tennessee to provide IT for a group of people who is living totally off the grid. And they're having a live streaming conference about how to go totally off the grid and have no connection to society. But you've hired someone to broadcast it online and you're recording it. Like, that's fucking ironic, right?
Yeah, so that's what I was... All right, so I just want to make this clear because I want to make sure I understand what just happened. You have a community who lives off the grid. And that is their by intention. They didn't just grow up off the grid. They intentionally decided to live off of the grid. And they want to promote this lifestyle by hiring somebody in IT to go out there and record them doing a conference on how to live off the grid. And they're going to be doing it in their hometown where they live off the grid and streaming this out to the world.
Correct. So yeah. His concern when we talked about it at work yesterday was, these people don't have power. They don't have internet access. They don't use cell phones. Like, how is he supposed to power this? And they told him not to worry about it. They were renting a generator, or somebody's cousin or uncle or some shit has a generator that's going to run internet and power to live stream an event and record it.
I'm just going to say it. This IT guy needs to get his affairs in order. And because this sounds like he's being murdered. Jeanette. Yeah. Looks like she's completely against it.
Yeah, I feel like it's a terrible idea myself. I don't trust off-the-grid people in general anyway.
I think the IT guy just needs to keep charging them more money because something's not working right and it just doesn't plug in the Ethernet cord, because if they're not paying attention to I don't know what's going on. We're not on the grid. We gotta do some more programming.
Make
a little. Jeanette and Allie both just looked like no. And Allie, I think, worked on, and definitely not IT, as we've seen her technical skills. But Jeanette, why are you so against this entire idea?
As someone that spent all of last October watching nothing but horror movies, this has many of the trademarks of a horror flick. It's an unwitting guy from the outside world coming into a community of unknowns. They're letting you know ahead of time why they need you and how, you know, safety will inevitably fail you. So it's too much in my mind that this is like Wicker Man. They want to sacrifice him to some nefarious being for their crops. So, sir, please do not go. Stay where you are. Say this is out of your league. Pass it off to someone you really don't like in the IT community. But, sir, please don't go. Do not go. So many red flags. Like, don't do it. It's not worth it.
Yeah, I agree. Plus, it's just too fucking weird. Like, what? You're if you want to live off the grid, knock yourself out. But why are you trying to have a live streaming internet-based conference about living off the grid? These two things do not compute.
No, I completely agree. I think we're all concerned. And Cap, do you have anything that you have concern with? Because I feel like there's no way in hell you're going to go with a group that decided to live off the grid. Or actually, you may, now that I've heard you discuss other things behind the scenes. So are you, if you're this IT guy, are you going out to do this, or are you like, hell no?
Oh no, it's insane. It's insane. I can't believe the whole, like, why? Like, if you're off the grid, what are you doing? I can't even form a whole sentence to question it. It's just ridiculous.
Is there anybody here who thinks it's a good idea? Kish?
No, I don't think it's a good idea. And I don't really have a IT related issue. But one of my friends is a doctor, and they did the kind of dumbest, most ironic kind of thing in terms of what they mandated for these people to do. So they had a mandatory physician wellness day where they're telling you to take some time off, but instead they make you go to conferences the whole fucking day, and they teach you things like meditating and stuff like that. The issue is, you know, you already don't have much time off, and it's not really a real day off. And my friend who went to this thing, he was learning how to meditate, and he was like, the only thing I could think of the entire time while I was meditating was how I want to kill myself. So that's not the best thing, I would think. And this kind of sounds similar to this IT off the grid situation.
Who is it for? Is it for people to learn how to become off the grid, or is it for other people that are off the grid to connect with people off the grid?
Supposedly it is to show people who are still suckers and sheep, who are still living on the grid, how much better life is off, and like how easy it is to, I don't know, weave your own shit and grow your own crops, and how you don't need any outside help from anyone. And here, watch this 3-day extravaganza, and we'll show you how to take baths by the river.
Yeah, we're so happy without technology that we're hiring technology to try to get more people to be involved in this. It makes no sense.
Well, also,
no, it's absolutely a cult.
Wouldn't it also just be easier to just get like a recorder, film recorder, just film it and then just pay someone to upload it to YouTube instead of trying to do a live stream?
Yeah. And my friend is not cheap. Like, they have to pay his travel. They have to pay 3 nights in a hotel, and he's not going to stay at a crappy hotel. They have to pay for his food. And then his time is like $250 an hour.
And then they're going to have to hire an attorney to defend their murder.
Right.
This is going to be a really costly experience.
Yeah. Well, now Monday rolls around and he doesn't show up at work. Yep.
Well, now I want to know how they're making so much money to be able to afford this. So maybe there is something to living off the grid.
They're probably, the crops they're growing are probably funding this.
Yeah.
My turn, because I'm the only one here that it seems to think it's a good idea, because when Pam brought this up, the first thing I thought of was that Silicon Valley episode when Pied Piper did their live stream of a condor egg trying to hatch, but they weren't getting enough viewership. So the museum technician went there, tried to take it down, and then fell into a ravine. So then the live stream was just all him suffering, thinking about drinking his own urine, yelling out for help. It increased their viewership. So this could be a good thing, because if people get hurt during this, it could increase your viewership, because everybody loves to see people in pain.
So do you have this being like a Blair Witch Project?
Or just like a murder mystery too, like live stream people getting murdered. You just never know.
That would not be a mystery. It would just be murder.
Yeah, I think the mystery part is very, very missing in this equation here.
What if they have masks on?
You're right, Allie. You really want people to be murdered live on video really bad. Like, you don't want to let this one go.
People like that stuff. It's like top 5 videos on Netflix.
What was that, Puck?
I say if they just stumble up on a dead body, that's a mystery.
If they just stumble up on it, the live stream starts with the community finding the IT guy after he sets up. Like, they actually go and edit and produce this to make sure that it's cut up properly. Scene one, we found this guy and we happen to have cameras and streaming.
No idea. That's weird. I wonder how we got here.
Or better yet, what if they like put his life in danger and they save his life to prove how great these people are? Like, they set him up. I think that's the way to do it, right? You save his life. All right, I think we've beaten IT guy may get murdered. And Pam, if this guy gets murdered, we apologize, but we will not take this podcast down because we told you so.
Right, but are we all going to end up in court if he ends up murdered?
No,
not your alibi. That.
I may be requested, but I am not ending up in court.
I don't know about like extradition from California to Tennessee, but I'm going to go with a no.
Are they in the Smoky Mountains? Is this in the Smoky Mountains?
I don't know where they went. I just know it's in Tennessee. So, Allie, I have to step in and help out.
Yeah, I'll take one for the team. I took criminal law for a semester. I'll be fine.
Johnson City. Just let it sit. What a great, great joke. Lou. All right. Speaking of live stream, let's talk about our point guard, our fearless leader, Chris at Waffle House. This live stream was Twitch. If you're not familiar with it, I don't know what to tell you. But Crispy decided this weekend, I believe, to say, come watch me do trivia on Twitch against two or three other people that, when I saw for a split second, just looked smarter than Crisp immediately. But Jeanette and Pam, they were there for most of it. I think Allie was too. And let's explain, or I'll let y'all explain the experience that was Crisp asking people to come watch him do trivia. Jeanette, Pam, Allie, whoever wants to kick it off, how did this even start? And walk me through the entire process, because Crisp is one of those people that I have is he Googles something and then tells you it as if he knew it all along.
That's laughing too hard to start. I was gonna wait for her. Hit it, Jen.
So what happened is he had told us the day before. He's like, I got approached by 2MB Studios to be on their trivia show on Friday called Whatever It Takes. And they're gonna let me know the day of what the topic is, but it's basically they're going to ask questions and then they have these, if you don't know a question or you want to like stump your opponent, where you can challenge them and it'll be a random challenge to try to get the point, like it'll double your points. But he was telling us, I'm not a competitive person, so I don't know how I'm going to do, but I'm kind of good at trivia, so I think I'll be okay. And we were just like, well, just, you know, 16-0, 0-16, don't be mediocre. And if you mess up, make sure it's grand enough that you'll be remembered and you'll come back. Represent the brand well.
Yes, fail so, with a purpose.
Bell.
Right? So when he gets there, it's 90s music. That's the category of the trivia. And he gets on and he's on fire. Round one, he totally dominated Colleen. I think she only got one question right. And they don't give you like, at the end of the round, they try to give you like the points. So I kind of found the point system a little sus, as the youth say, a little sus. Cause it was like, how is it that close? It was like 80 to 60. And I'm like, but she only got one right. So I don't get it. And then Chris, because he's telling us, oh my God, I'm not competitive. He's trying to give points to Colleen. That's not the point of competition. You don't give away points, dude. I'm sorry. It's like me versus you. I'm going to beat you. I'm not giving you anything. And then so, it's, yes.
I'm sorry. Crisp was trying to give points to Colleen. Like, this isn't a game of dominoes. So he's trying to feed a partner, but he doesn't actually have a partner points.
Yeah. So like if, like whatever, if she would answer and he was like, well, that's kind of right. Because, and then he was trying to like give her like half points. So if a question was worth 20, he's like, she should at least get 10. It's like, that's not the point of competition. It's like, well, there's only one first place and you're not about to hand it over to Colleen, dude.
She missed a question and then they like went over to him and he got it right. And he said, I want to give the points to Colleen. What? No.
What?
Get out of here, Crisp.
Oh, my God.
He absolutely did. He was like, Jesus. No, I want to give my points to Colleen. No, she guessed first and she guessed wrong. Like,
and to Colleen's credit, she never did the same for him. She was hella cutthroat. She knew how to compete. So get it, Colleen. Girl power. That's right.
Hold on. So Pam, Jeanette, and Allie, I don't know if you're there. Y'all are watching him try to give points away. Yes. To Colleen, even though she was wrong. Are you two live? Because in Twitch, you can chat. Are you two going at Chris, telling him no in front of Colleen? Are you basically saying don't do this in front of Colleen?
Well, yes. Yeah, and we're telling him the answers. Because actually, to be honest, he and Colleen both struggled with like 90s music. I was pretty surprised how much.
Yeah, I was disappointed.
So we, the all three of us were answering the questions in the chat, and they're both like, I don't know, Billy Vanilli, or it might be Megadeth. It's one of those for sure. Like
split between Billy Vanilli or Megadeth. I love
yeah,
it.
It was, yeah, I'm not sure what was going on there. It was painful.
And then, Allie, you were ashamed also?
I was very ashamed because they were super easy questions and I expected more from Chris, especially there was a question about Soundgarden and the question was, what song within Soundgarden inspired a cult? And he guessed Spoon Man, and everybody clearly knows that Spoon Man is about a street artist from Seattle just playing spoons in the street outside the venue that Soundgarden initially started playing at. And he didn't guess Black Hole Sun. And that earlier that day, he wrote a parody song called Butthole Sun about Black Hole Sun, but yet he still got it wrong. It should have been fresh on his mind. It's the easiest question, and he didn't know it.
First, I just want to apologize to Colleen, who got shrapnel here while we were really trying to take out Chris. I feel like we still took her out for not knowing 90s music. Jeanette, did you have anything to add on to that dismount by Allie that just destroyed Chris?
Yeah, we were, you know, playing along, and part of it, there's a point where I realized, like, they could read the chat and they could see our answers. So I'm like, if I know something, I'm just not going to put it because, you know, integrity of the game is important. You know, like, everybody knows this. Like, this is why, you know, baseball is the way it is, integrity of the game. But they threw the most whack-ass question, which everybody walked away, which was Alanis Morissette being the number one selling rock and roll artist of the 90s. And they were trying to justify her music as rock and roll. It's like, get out of here. So, no, that kind of, but good thing that was towards the end when it was really evident that the whole game had gotten out of hand.
Where they couldn't upset you anymore.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, like 2 minutes to go, like whatever. It was interesting to see, but, you know, God, like Chris lost by like 140 points. So it wasn't even close.
Man, that's ironic, don't you think?
He had been winning like at the end of the first round, it was like 260 to 40 in Chris's favor. So the fact that he lost was ridiculous.
It's like 1,000 forks and all you need is a spoon man.
I think he threw it for Colleen. There's no way he didn't know some of those.
I also think the studio was cheating. That's my conspiracy theory, is that they were cheating because Colleen kind of works for them, from what I gathered, that they're kind of intertwined in some way, shape, or form. And I feel like the Alanis Morissette question, they didn't specify like the debt, like where they got their statistics from, because maybe if you're pulling Canada, she would be leading rock and roll. Clearly not in the United States. It was definitely No Doubt at the time, Tragic Kingdom, like, come on, the stats are there.
Also, I guess Nirvana, Nevermind. Like, how was Nevermind not the best-selling album of the 90s? Fuck off with that. No.
Also, there was a point where Will took a challenge, and it was like, from A to Z, name bands. It could be any band, so it didn't have to be from the 90s. And he didn't want to use bands like The Beatles, The Eagles, because he thought the went under T.
He didn't even make it that far. He made it to like D, E, or F. And we're all just in the chat like, no, this, Depeche Mode, Incubus, blah, 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 and nothing. Silence. Like, come on.
All right, so I haven't seen, and I don't think anybody else here was on that Twitch, so I don't think we're going to do any better than you three ladies just did at crushing Crisp. And I haven't seen that much passion. Oh, Lou was there. I apologize. Lou, you were there?
No, I don't have that, but what I do have is the top best-selling albums of the 90s, the top 10 for Ready.
Great,
all right?
Producing. Great.
All right. Number 10, Backstreet Boys. Sales, 9.2 million. Garth Brooks, Rope in the Wind, 9.3 million.
Ta-da!
Backstreet Boys, Millennium, 9.4. The Titanic soundtrack, 9.8.
Fuck off. I quit.
El Bote.
Hootie and the Blowfish, 9.8 million.
Ta-da!
Keeping Up with the Titanic, Celine Dion, 10.2 million.
Ta-da!
Number four, I guess I should have been saying that. Number four is Whitney Houston, The Bodyguard. 11.6 million.
Yeah, fire.
Number three, Metallica, 11.7, the Black Album.
Ooh, fire album.
Oh, so amazing.
Number two, second
best Black Album ever. Go.
Shania Twain, Come On Over, 12.1.
That's not terrible.
It's okay.
And the number one album of the 90s was Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill with 13.5.
No. That's bull. I'm out of here. No, I'm not.
Wow. So a great production to come all the way down to prove all three of you wrong. Good job, Lou. Thank you for making. I think, does that make Crisp right? Did we just spend all that time bashing Crisp?
She's not rock and roll. She's not rock and roll. She's alt. She's not rock and roll. She's alt rock. There's a difference.
And they posed the question, the number one selling rock album of the 90s.
She ain't
so Crisp, according to you, Lou, according to you, it was Alanis Morissette, right? According to
according to the internet.
Bestselling rockalbum.com.
Garth Brooks and Shania Twain are not rock either, so that's fucked up.
Neither are the Backstreet Boys.
Blech.
Or Whitney Houston.
Or Celine Dion. That's the farthest thing from rock.
And the Titanic.
This was just the top 10. Okay, I'll look up for the rock best rock bands of the 90s.
Work on that, and we'll circle back as you grab that. Because I haven't seen somebody...
The Titanic didn't hit a rock. It hit an iceberg.
We heard it. We didn't stop for it because we're trying to save your stats.
I don't mind failing.
I haven't seen anybody this passionate about hating somebody since a few hours ago when Witty decided to take out Tebow. So I don't know why you all just Tebow trashed unless Jeanette or somebody else has a better saying for that. But that's basically what you just did to Crisp. And I didn't know that Witty had the ability to hate somebody with that much passion that also seems, like they said, to be very aligned. So one, is there anybody here that wants to argue against Witty? Because I'm sure there's a lot of us that are going to have things to say that are anti-Tebow. But is anybody here who actually is pro-Tebow or is just really confused by how much Witty hated this guy?
I was only pro Tebow when I was at the Community Inn in Roanoke when Tim Tebow beat the Steelers in that playoff victory. And I got my father-in-law to do shots with me afterwards, and it was great. It was fun.
A Community Inn in Roanoke sounds like the most depressing place to ever try to be a fan of anything. Like
it's the best sports bar. Literally, they had like 9 TVs all in a row. It was just like you just turn your head whenever there's a commercial and you just catch the next NFL game. It was perfect.
Got it. That's my Roanoke ignorance. I was just thinking Community Inn sounds like a motel, and so I assumed you were in a motel with your father-in-law taking shots watching Tim Tebow play football on a 13-inch screen TV with like the old flowery mattress and the Bible in
black and white TV.
Yeah. So, all right. So
I yelled and screamed so much, my neighbors thought I was a crazy person. They actually told me that like a few months later when I finally met them.
This is when Tebow beat Pittsburgh?
Yep.
Okay. For those who
screamed the whole entire time.
And the reason he's screaming is with joy because Kappa was a known Baltimore Ravens fan, which is the worst part of all social media, except for Kappa. He's the one exception.
Steelers, I think Twitter went at Mo Gabba, a 14-year-old who was handicapped and passed away this last year. And it's just like, I can't blame a lot of the Ravens fans that are, insane on Twitter for those reasons. But then again, there's a lot of them that just won't shut up about it. And it's just like, leave the trolls alone, you know. But whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with that fish you just threw on my lap about an unfortunate young teenager.
You know what? I got something.
It's like he blames Steelers.
Cut that out. I was up in the air.
It's okay. I'm not cutting it out. You were absolutely going to be on air blaming Steelers fans for the death of a child. Lou, you had something?
When I was working at a screen printing shop in Roanoke, this guy was trying to get these shirts made. And it was called Move the Chains, and we had to print on all these sleeves. So we had to kept Yeah, every time. So I did like 400 shirts. This guy was so excited. He was like, we're going to get it on the NFL and it's going to work. And then he never came back.
But he didn't die. He just never came back. This is not the IT guy.
We don't know.
We don't know. Okay. A lot of death suddenly showing its face around here. So Tim Tebow, and I'm going to let anybody else who wants to talk about it go, but my biggest thing with Witty that I didn't understand is like, why are you mad that he's not choosing your career of broadcasting, of TV, of all the things that they're listening he could be doing? Like, why are you upset that he didn't choose this route when he's Tim Tebow? If you could become a third string tight end in the NFL at the age of 34, anybody, you do it. Like, nobody here decides against becoming a professional athlete at the age of 34. Don't get me wrong, the failed career is there, but I was more weirded out. Like, he was mad he wasn't choosing his career. Kish?
Yeah, I think I was expecting you to actually agree with Witty for the first time ever. And like, how can you blame him? Like, you don't have to take so many hits on the body as a broadcaster versus an athlete, like especially tight end. I get so many freaking hits. And I was just ready for you to actually agree with Witty. And I think there's something with you where you're just avoidant of that no matter what.
Avoiding agreeing with Witty?
Exactly.
It's really hard to agree with words that I don't understand and that I would never use because I'm a normal human being. But it's not that I'm against Witty's take. I guess it is that I'm against Witty's take. Like, he's Tim Tebow, Witty. He's not going to be here using 4 or 5 syllable words on TV like you probably do. I can't even imagine watching a baseball game that Witty is actually calling or whatever sport he calls. I assume baseball because it's the most boring sport. I would be lost.
No, you call it soccer.
Oh, I was wrong. Second most boring. Thank you for correcting me. I didn't need to... It's all right.
I don't know if you've seen this. There's this video of Schalke 04. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Maybe ask Woody. They literally chase their players. They're chasing their players from the team bus because they got relegated. Like, that is awesome. Well, am I allowed to say that? It's awesome as long as nobody got hurt.
So, Cap, do me a favor when you get this excited, back up a little bit from your computer, just so you know. But why of all things did that make you more passionate than the Steelers killing a child?
You know, honestly, I soccer.
You're a soccer fan.
More fun to me. It's more fun to me. I don't have to deal with the heartbreak of losing. So
that's true. I guess
I can root for whoever.
The roots of the football fandom in America aren't as deep as are deeper in football than in soccer. And I'm not actually against Witty. I just thought it was a weird position for him to take. I felt like I went a little too far there. And then when I got corrected on the sport, I felt like I was being a real jerk. But I didn't get it. I'm like, he's Tim Tebow. Like, have you seen the guy? Like, his body is to what bodies is like what Witty's vocabulary is to normal people's vocabulary. If you have Tim Tebow's body, you go put that thing to use on a football field or any field. No, Jeanette doesn't agree.
I'm sorry, keep cutting you guys off. No, do you think Witty has any animosity towards Tebow for just like what was it, 2, 3 out of 4 winning championships and not, you know, not getting to see somebody else win? I mean, because that's how I kind of felt about Tebow. Like, I just was like, oh, yeah, this guy again. He just kept winning. And I kind of just wanted to see somebody else. I had no horse in the race in college football. I don't have a team. Maryland's horrible, and I don't really like them. But, you know, I don't really have any other reason to have any animosity towards them. And I just figured maybe Witty might hold something like, you know, resentment.
Yeah, as a fan of the Big Three, I don't think you're allowed to ever have that type of resentment where it was kind of our entire thing is – build a team to go to every championship. So you lost your right to be mad that somebody was great for 3 years when you basically when LeBron carried Dwayne Wade and the rest of those bums to a few championships.
Wow.
Jeanette, why were you mad about Tebow?
Dwayne Wade taught LeBron how to win championships, all right? He basically gave LeBron college education by teaching him how to win. All right. LeBron has admitted as much. Yeah. All right. Anyways, go along.
Did you just take a shot at LeBron for not going to college?
Exactly. No, he said the exact same thing where he's like, some people go to college. I did not, but I went to college with the Miami Heat and Pat Riley and Dwayne Wade. All right. So put some respect on that name. All right.
Jeanette, you looked like you were you pro or anti? You were just shaking your head. I didn't know it who, but why did you look so aggressively opinionated on a Tim Tebow topic? And why are any of us? That's the one thing he did have right, is this was 12 years ago and we still have passionate one way or the other. But what was your take?
Well, first of all, I just want to say Witty's on the subject, I thought he was very tepid. These were very tepid Tebow thrashing on Witty's behalf. They were egging him on to be stronger, and his language was very much, he just didn't want to go with the fire in the belly and totally take the guy out. My understanding was when he quit being a Major League Baseball player, that was him walking away from sports entirely. He had already been in the NFL, tried being a quarterback, had no success, gave baseball a try when he was already too damn old, and taking a roster spot from someone much more deserving and younger, talented and skilled than him. So now he's doing it again in a new position. So it's like, Tim, if you're listening, or somebody from Tebow's camp, don't stick to sports. Go do something else. Go come up with an appliance to sell. Go start, try to be a host in something. I don't know, but do not stick to sports, because you're just not good.
I mean, with that take, then why didn't the whole world hate Michael Jordan when he went and played baseball? Because there's no way he makes a major league team. So that dude's just as much of a fraud in baseball as Tebow. He just happened to get the opportunity to make it to the majors. I promise you, if Michael Jordan didn't have his name, he would have been a worse baseball player than even Tim Tebow.
Oh, I agree. I've often said in my sports conversations that Jordan loses points on me for leaving to go play minor league baseball. I've often said that. I stand by that statement. It's probably my Twitter somewhere. If you guys want to find the tweet and resurface it and aggregate me, it's there. Go find it.
We will do the hard journalism to get you canceled for a Michael Jordan baseball take. Did anybody else have anything else on Tebow? Because I feel like there's only so much you can say. Oh, one second. There is a child who just said hi. Say hi, Pam.
Oh, I hope he's so snug.
Say hi.
He's the real star.
Say hi, everybody. But everybody, but Kish.
Oh, my heart.
Say what up, Kish. Say what up, Kish.
Bye.
He gone.
He said it.
So all right. I have a take that's it's rooted in my own feelings, which are, I don't have to have a reason to hate somebody.
Love it.
I can just know, like, pretty quickly after meeting them or seeing them on TV or hearing about them from somebody else that I hate them. And maybe Witty has some of that as well. Maybe it's not the sports or the, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Maybe it's just, I just hate that guy. So, I mean, there's plenty of people I see that I'm like, ugh, I can tell I hate her or him. So maybe that's it.
It's the punchable face thing, right? Yeah. And so I'm with you, but I'm okay. But if that's the case, like, you just need to be real with yourself, Woody. Like, a lot of us can say, I just don't like him. Like, I just hate him. It is what it is. No reason needed. But to the, he buffered it with some stuff. And I don't think it was tepid. I just don't think.
He's boring.
Witty
is. He's like one of the most boring people on television. Jordan Rogers is more exciting than he is. And plus, like, he dated Miss Universe and now he's married to a different Miss Universe. Go screw your wife. Go do that. Go have fun with that. Don't be playing football.
We just became. Okay. I am going to cut up where I said Witty and you jumped in with he's boring. And I am going to be playing audio of you calling Witty boring instead of Tebow for over and over. So we are going to do the Stan Van Gundy, which
Scott
coach was
Brooks.
It that was stupid?
Scott Brooks
Scott
is
Brooks
an idiot.
Stupid. Yeah, we are absolutely going to have me saying Witty is, and you jump in with he's boring. So I don't think there's too much else to talk about Tebow, and I don't really want to stay there because I feel like we all agree it's just not interesting. Only the show can make that topic that interesting. But those of y'all who can't see us, which is everybody because this is an audio medium, our guy in sales, Lou in sales, Bruce in sales on Fridays, he has a hat on right now with the number 4 on it. And I want him to kind of explain just the hat design and then the reason behind it and what it all means. I'll let you go. I don't want to mess this up for you.
All right. Well, so we had Kate Fagan on and her Pod should be dropping here shortly, but her father, I believe, passed away from ALS, and she and Tom Hamistro have a foundation for, I'm going to have to look it up, but it's Lou Gehrig's Day. So June 2nd is Lou Gehrig's Day. And so Lou Gehrig's number is number 4. And so I came up with a cool hat idea that kind of fits into the Yankees theme. It's a custom white felt circle with the number 4 and kind of got the Yankee pinstripes. And we are selling it, and all the proceeds that we get from this is going to go to IAMALS.org. Is that correct, Jeanette? And so please go to our website, shop.lowerafterhours, and you'll see the link there, and get yourself a hat before they get sold out.
All right. So just to be clear, the website was www.iamals.org, and that's IAM.
Yes, it is. Perfect.
And now you give me the nonverbal cue. All right. All right. I think that's it. Capo, man, fucking great job with getting 2, isn't it, ironic puns in. That's a shining moment. Peace. See y'all later.
We love you, Colleen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Lauer After Hours. You can always reach us on Twitter at Lauer After Hours or Instagram at Lauer After Hours. We're available wherever you get podcasts, so don't forget to download, subscribe, review, and rate 5 stars.